You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Here's a bit of an unsettling statistic. One in 50 people harbor a brain aneurysm, and many times they are fatal or neurologically devastating if they do rupture. And even being diagnosed with a brain aneurysm can be scary. So knowing the signs and the symptoms, as well as how to treat a diagnosis of a brain aneurysm, is critical. Joining me in studio is Dr. Edward Duckworth. He is the director of cranial neurosurgery at St. Luke's Hospital. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Gemma. It's a pleasure to be here.
First off, just explain to me what exactly a brain aneurysm is.
Yeah, so brain aneurysm is a weak spot on one of the bigger arteries at the base of the brain. Sometimes we refer to it as a bubble or an outpouching. They usually occur at branch points in the arteries at the base of the brain. And the problem is, as you mentioned, they can rupture and cause bleeding around the brain, and that can be very dangerous.
So then we have this statistic of 1 in 50 people have a brain aneurysm. So my understanding was a brain aneurysm meant that it ruptured. So that's not necessarily the case.
Right. So a lot of them are actually diagnosed incidentally. You know, if somebody bumps their head and gets a CAT scan, or is in a car accident and gets a CAT scan or an MRI, that's how they're diagnosed. And that can be more of a dilemma, because not all brain aneurysms rupture, so you have to decide which ones need treatment and which don't.
And how do we know that about 1 in 50 people have this? I mean, that's a pretty unsettling statistic, as I said.
Yeah, and it's a little it's a little bit more nuanced than that, because this is really a disease of adults. Usually age 40 to 60 is kind of the when they most often occur. So the incidence actually goes up with age. It is a little bit startling statistic to think, you know, 2 out of every 100 people have one.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about treatment then. If you're diagnosed with one before it has actually ruptured, you can treat this?
Yeah, absolutely. The outcomes are much better. If one ruptures, it's a very serious or fatal event. But if you get to them ahead of time, they can often be treated, sometimes very minimally invasively, and you can move on with your life and not have to worry about it. Even though the rupture rate is typically very low each year, people will think that they have this ticking time bomb in their head. And, a lot of times we try to reassure them that that's not the case. But, getting to them ahead of time is the ideal situation, as opposed to after they rupture.
I'm speaking with Dr. Edward Duckworth. We're talking about brain aneurysms. What types of signs or symptoms, if people are, experiencing a brain aneurysm? Because I know we've seen, stories, certain celebrities like Sharon Stone, for example. You know, she had a brain aneurysm years ago. When we hear that idea of this pounding headache, how do people know if they're going down that path?
Yeah. Another famous celebrity is Joe Biden. Actually had one on each side of his brain.
Did he really?
Yeah. And you can sort of see the scars from his surgery many years ago. But the symptoms, a lot of people will not necessarily have symptoms, especially an unruptured aneurysm. So that makes it even more vexing. If they rupture, the classic symptom is what's called a thunderclap headache, or a lot of times people will go to the ER and say they've had the worst headache of their life, and that's a real key term that the ER docs look out for. But you can have symptoms even if an aneurysm hasn't yet ruptured or is on the verge of rupturing. Things like a focal headache, or a dilated pupil, or blurry vision, double vision, things like that. especially when paired with pain. That can be very serious, and you should seek medical attention right away for something like that.
And that's part of it right there, I think, is, you know, everything you just mentioned. It's like, well, that might not seem like that big of a deal, but better safe than sorry. So if you have those symptoms, especially if you fall into that age range you talked about, go.
Yes, and especially if you have a family history.
Okay.
Or have a history of smoking. These are things that increase the risk of a cerebral aneurysm.
And what's interesting to me is that basically before you came to town, people had to be flown to Salt Lake for this type of treatment. So how does time play into this?
Well, if an aneurysm ruptures, it's very serious, and it can actually re-rupture early on, so within the first few hours or first 24 hours. And so immediate treatment is very critical. One of the reasons I came to Boise is because there wasn't really anyone that had championed brain aneurysm treatment here previously. I mean, time is critical, especially those first few hours to get a patient stabilized and then come up with a plan for treatment.
And so if it ruptures, if you're able to catch it, people can come through this. I mean, we've seen that, but usually when we talk about this, when we've heard of, you know, so-and-so had a brain aneurysm and they passed away.
Yeah, the statistics are pretty bad. About 15% of people don't even make it to the hospital. And then if you do make it to the hospital, about two-thirds of people still have big problems even after treatment. So we don't like to wait for that to happen, certainly, but there's also many cases of people with ruptured aneurysms that turn out okay, especially if they seek treatment right away. So, for example, I had a patient a couple months ago who noted that her pupil had dilated, one of her pupils, and she had also been having headaches behind her eye. And luckily, her family brought her into the ER, and she had an aneurysm that was really on the verge of rupturing probably, you know, any day.
And it saved her life by bringing her in.
It definitely did.
So now that we have freaked everyone out about this, what should people be, I mean, should you really be concerned about this? When we give that statistic of 1 in 50, I mean, right? I mean, you don't want to freak people out about it, but I also think it's good to be active about your own health.
Certainly. So the people most at risk are those with family history or high blood pressure or history of smoking. And then there's a couple other categories. People with connective tissue disorders are at increased risk. But those are really the people we recommend screening for, and otherwise it's just looking out for those signs and symptoms.
So talk to me about the screening then. I mean, if that is something that if you fall into that category, what type do you ask for a screening?
You can ask your primary doctor for screening, which is in the form of MRI usually, and that's easy and painless and does a very good job of identifying aneurysms.
I want to thank you for coming in today and talking about this. It's a serious conversation to be having, but also good information just around our health. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you, Gemma.
I'd like to thank my guest today, Director of Cranial Neurosurgery for St. Luke's, Dr. Edward Duckworth.